This has been a great year for writer Karen Russell. Her debut novel, Swamplandia, received raves. Now it's making the best of 2011 lists, including the New York Times top five fictional books, and an HBO project is in the works. Swamplandia centers around a family-run theme park, the kind of place where you might buy a Davy Crockett coonskin cap or get a real stalagmite. It's a little frayed around the edges, but wait, are those really Indians? Or in the case of Karen's fictional Swamplandia, are they really going to wrestle alligators? Yes, and swim with them.
Our mother climbed the ladder above the gator pit in a green two-piece bathing suit and stood on the edge of the diving board, breathing. Somewhere directly below Hylola Big Tree, dozens of alligators pushed their icicle overbites and the awesome diamonds of their heads through over 300,000 gallons of filtered water. At the entrance to the gator pit, our father, the chief, had nailed up a crate board sign. You watchers in the first four rows guaranteed to get wet. Just below this, our mother had added in her small, livid lettering, anybody could get hurt.
Author Karen Russell reading from her debut novel, Swamplandia, which is also the name of the Big Tree family's spread on an island off of Florida. There's 13-year-old Ava Big Tree, her brother, who's started to question their island life, her incandescent sister. The family is attacked not by gators, but by cancer, which takes her adored mother, Hylola, and a Disney-like park called World of Darkness, which opens on the mainland and pretty much shuts down Swamplandia. And that's just the beginning of this wild ride. We spoke with author Karen Russell back in March. She told us Swamplandia had its origins in a field trip she made as a kid to the Miccosukee Indian village off Florida's coast.
You go on a school bus to an airboat. You stuff your ears with cotton. A shirtless man takes you far from your teachers to this island where you watch, you know, authentic Miccosukee alligator wrestling, which can seem kind of anticlimactic because often it's just a man sort of kneeling on an alligator.
As you said to someone, that your IKEA couch could do the same thing.
Definitely. You know, it's not sort of the primordial struggle it's billed as necessarily. And you're not even sure who to root for. You know, you're like, is that man crouching on a tire? What is happening?
And you do want to root for the alligators, as we sort of do in Swamplandia.
Yeah.
But your family, the Big Tree family, no, they're not Native American. In fact, the blondest among them often has to have makeup put on when they do billboards. But there is a realness to them. They do live in a swamp. They do swim with alligators.
I was thinking about in the grand tradition of sort of American grifters, what's true about them, I suppose, to me is they really desperately want to be indigenous people. They've lived on this island for three generations. They are sort of confabulators and they have this hokey park. But I think, you know, what resonated with me was just how genuine their desire to be their own authors is. You know, they really want to tell this story where they are the Big Tree wrestling dynasty. The father really wants to give his kids this noble heritage as, you know, world-famous alligator wrestlers. And then I was thinking in that kind of scenario, to be the rebel, you'd be the one that wanted to go to college, you know, as the brother does.
Right. But the 13-year-old Ava, who's our narrator, after her mother dies, she's the one who tries the hardest to keep the park going.
Right.
Now, it's funny. You quote Lewis Carroll in your book, and she is your Alice, isn't she?
Yeah. If Alice were, herpetologically savvy fake Indian in the Florida swamp. I think if you translated her into that octave, I think so.
Well, because at one point she goes in search of her sister, and it is like going down a rabbit hole to go into the Everglades.
Yeah, yeah, it really is. You know, all of that is absolutely true. I always feel like I'm getting some false credit for, you know, inventiveness. I tell people just take an airboat out there. It feels like a portal out of a fairy tale. There are mangrove channels, dead-end rivers and deadfalls, and it really does feel like a landscape out of an alien book.
Well, and she's traveling with the bird man, who could be her white rabbit. It could be her tin man, except, well, we won't give away the ending. Maybe he's not. But she really does think that she's going into hell. But meanwhile, back on the mainland, somebody's built an amusement park that is Hades.
Right, this really just craptacular artificial Hades called the World of Darkness, which I was thinking of sort of like the Burger King of theme parks, just this giant chain that has boiling colas and, you know, the rings of hell. And you can go down these slides that are supposed to be a whale's digestive system. And And, you know, even as it was so fun to come up with some of those details, but none of them felt so far afield from what you might actually see in Orlando today. You know, I mean, there's stuff that is just that ridiculous.
Right. Well, and meantime, you also tell us about the Melaleuca tree, which is an invasive tree that was planted. This is true, right? This seeds
this
were thrown out
true,
of airplanes
yeah.
to plant this tree, which is now taking over the islands. We get the sense of the encroaching, you know, suburbia, all of that. What are you saying about your Florida?
Oh, you know, I'm so glad you brought up the Melaleuca, because I really was thinking, you know, if you wanted to draw a parallel between that the Melaleuca is this exotic invasive species of tree. They love, you know, they really thrive in this ecosystem. Similarly, we've got all these cheesy strip malls, you know, burger joints, developers that are pushing the urban boundary, you know, over the Everglades. So I was thinking the swamp that the big trees live in is really imperiled by corporate forces and natural forces that are, in a way, you know, the Melaleuca are like the Walmart tree of the swamp. They
right.
sort of they
right.
they get in there and proliferate, and you end up with a forest of only one species of tree. And I think the big trees, to me, you know, they're big, they're phonies, they're fake Indians, but at least they're sort of fighting these homogenizing forces, both yeah. sort of the natural ones and then the, you know, the world of darkness.
Well, you know, hilarity ensues much of the time, but there's also a tremendous sadness about the victims, I guess, of man's stupid mistakes, including, you know, almost the big tree family. What are you saying about family, too?
I was thinking a lot when I was writing this book about how fantasy is our big industry in Florida. And that's sort of what we sell here, you know. And with the big tree family, how essential that myth is in America, you know, the myth of the nuclear family and the idea of your family as this tribe that is bound by blood loyalty. In the case of these guys, I think when the mother dies and that fiction starts to erode, part of the tragedy for me was watching all of them really attempt to suit up in their costumes and play the role. Then what happens when that starts to disintegrate, you know, when you can't really keep the myth going? And Ava, as the youngest, I think the burden sort of falls on her to be kind of like the emergency generator on the island. Mm. She's the one who is the most willful in her belief that, you know, we're going to become world famous alligator wrestlers again. I'm going to save my park. You know, I'm going to save my family in Swamplandia. And I think what's beautiful to me about all children is their capacity for courage and belief. In this case, though, Ava has just such a limited world of references, and a lot of the book is about her learning a new way of seeing in the wake of her mother's death.
Right. Karen Russell, her book is Swamplandia. And Karen, we've been hearing these, you know, terrible things about Florida. What is it that you love about Florida?
I think I love that anything can happen feeling. I think I love that it is a place that just hums with this sense of absolutely anything is possible. And the coastlines are in constant revision. You know, all kinds of weird weather blow through here. Culturally, it's the most heterogeneous place, I think, in the country. So it really feels alive in terms of flora and fauna and also just the crazy mix of cultures we have. It feels just clamorous and riotous and alive.
Karen, thanks so much.
Thank you, Robin.